It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 313, entitled There's a Michelle Over There. It was recorded on Monday the 4th of November, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined today by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Mark Westgaard, by Patricia Beattie, and Corey Mass, and there's a sudden, slightly unexpected appearance from Michelle Frechette as well. Stay tuned for that. It's a WordPress podcast, so you know we're going to talk about WordPress. WordPress 6.7, the release candidate, is out. What's in there? We also talk about the fact that there's a WordCamp happening at Romania in the near future. Also, WordCamp Europe, we get into that, and the fact that they are looking for a new venue for 2026. We very briefly touch on the WP drama of the moment. We also talk about community events and the swag that will not be getting shipped out to those in the future. We spend a long time talking about an article by Joost de Valk all about community and how that really is the driving force of the entire project. We spend a little bit of time touching on some developer-y things as well, and about a new product called Command UI, which is taking over the WordPress space. And probably the biggest slice is all about which browser you're using. And it turns out that I'm a bit of a pariah. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Actually out of breath. just been running around. Hello. This Week in WordPress, number 313. Thank you for joining us. If you're joining us live, really appreciate it. Get onto the housekeeping-y bits in a minute of how you might comment and things like that. But I just have to say, the reason I've been running around is because I've got some builders in, and they might be quite noisy, like really, really noisy. And there's nothing I can do about it. If I want this work to happen, it's got to happen. So if it gets really noisy, I'll try to pause my mic and all of that kind of stuff. But forgive the, which will probably... in a few minutes time, but anyway, there we go. That's out the way. So yeah, we're joined today by three fabulous guests. Over there is Mr. Westgaard. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good. It's a pleasure to have you on again. I'm just scrolling to your bio. Your bio says, what the heck? What the heck? Wait, no. That's incredible. What just happened? Oh, that's going to be so weird on the audio. Michelle Frechette, or at least what I think is that Michelle's there.
He's here.
Look at that. That's so nice. Okay, so that's unexpected. Can she hear me? Can she hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Michelle joining us as well. That's so nice. Okay, so for those, for those of you on the audio, what just happened was I was talking to Mark and about to introduce him, and Michelle literally trundled past in the background like, it's kind of weird. And I double took and then double took again, and there she is. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good.
We thought we would make her go slowly behind me because there was a very quick story. We all went to dinner once at a WordCamp, and Michelle has a scooter, and Nathan kindly offered to move the scooter to the back of the restaurant. And when he accelerated, it was on the slowest mode possible. So we just saw Nathan very slowly going across the back of the restaurant. So we thought we'd do the same with Michelle, but Michelle's coming to the table for the weekend, so we thought we'd include her.
I did want to say, why are you in this different space? And now I know. Now I've got it. Oh, that's
Just to troll you, Nathan.
Absolutely fabulous. I'm so appreciative. And I was literally about to introduce Mark, and Mark's bio says the following: not a sausage, Tony, and only Mark and I know what that means. And we'll leave it there. Michelle, I don't have your bio, but Michelle does everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah. Everything everywhere.
And she's at meetmichelle.online. How about that? We'll just go
with
that.
Perfect.
That's all we need.
We'll go with that for today. Oh, that's lovely. You need to change your name now, Mark. Mark and Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, do that. Okay. So apologies for hijacking the audio like that, but let's introduce some of the other people here. Over there, down there on the screen, at least for me anyway, is Patricia. How are you doing, Patricia?
Great, great. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that. There we go. So Patricia, let me do the proper intro. Patricia contributes to the WordPress project mostly by organizing events. We'll find out about that. Local and flagship. She likes to give back to WordPress for what it allows for her to accomplish on her sites. She contributes to the project for about 80 hours a month. Good grief. Is partially sponsored by Theme Isle for 20 hours a month. And Jean, I'm going to mispronounce this. I apologize. Jean de Boule. Thank you. Jens Double for 2 hours a month. I'll put it in the show notes. And she loves projects focused on community and human relationships and likes everything open source, which allows everyone to have their voices heard. Love me, Nick. 80 hours a month. Gosh, I think that's more hours than I'm actually awake. that's pretty impressive.
Half of my working time.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh, I think you got a clap from our third guest. Third of four, from Corey, who's right there. Corey, how are you doing? Corey Moss, how's it going?
Good. I'm disappointed that now what I was hoping was Michelle would go behind Mark, off screen, and then like go behind me somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just keep going over to Patricia.
Where's our mystery guests? Like we're all underperforming, aren't we? We don't have anybody to sort of show off in the background. Oh, Corey's bio is nice and straightforward. It says, Corey Mass, WordPress developer, creator of, look at the t-shirt, OMG, IMG. He's got the mugs. He's got
double swag.
Double swag.
I know, Mark, I noticed you were like, hello. Yeah. You pause before you sip, I noticed.
Maybe you can remove the reverse mirror my video so we can
read. Yeah. In the settings, Corey, true, actually. In the settings, there's a way of, I think, mirroring or on-mirroring because your logo. Now it looks the right way.
All right, then I'm not a fan of Wave Video because they should mirror it for me, but not for, this is a developer speaking, of course. Okay. Here's how they should update the
feature. That's right. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. We have our panelists plus one. We have four of us. Four additionals and Michelle and Mark. There we go. WS Form and Stella WP. That's brilliant. Right. Okay. Now the housekeeping. We're like 10 minutes in and we're just onto this bit. if you would like to contribute, please, please do. The best way to do that is head over to wpbuilds.com and then go /live. And if you do that, you'll be able to see what we're doing over there. And it's an embedded video from the platform, from Wave. And if you want to comment and you're happy logging into Google, there's a chat box on the right. Feel free to use that. Or if you go into the video itself, there's a little black button top right. It says something like live chat. And that way you don't need to be logged into anything. You just type your name in and you can chat. We'd love that. If you want to do that, that'd be really appreciated. And it looks like a few of you have done that already. Not too many. That's great. We can manage that this morning. So the first one up is James Lau, joining us and saying good morning. Thank you very much. Friendly web guy, Bob the Builder. We can fix it. Bob the Builder. Yes, it is going to be noisy and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to rely on the beauty of noise cancellation, which won't manage it, but it'll hopefully manage a bit of it. Courtney's joining us. She's cleaning the desk, changing out writing while tuning in today. Thank you very much. And the slow creep was amazing. Yeah. That feels like, actually, Michelle, I don't know if you saw, I guess you posted it, the video on Twitter where you suddenly emerged as me.
Yes.
It felt like that. It felt like that all over again. So that was really nice. Live TV at its best. A hand wave from Elliot. A hand wave from Birgit, joining us from Germany. Patricia rocks, she said.
Oh, thank you, Birgit.
Yeah. And then hello also from New Orleans is Michelle Huffaker. So, yeah, wpbuilds.com/live. Over there, you'll find the bits and pieces that we do. Let's just do a quick demo of what that looks like. Here we are. If you're over here, just a quick mention of our sponsors that keep this show and the other ones that we do going. We got GoDaddy Pro, we've got Bluehost, and we've got OmniSend. If you end up on any of their properties, do mention that you heard about them on WP Builds. That's really helpful. And if you would like to stay in touch with what we do, put your email address into here and click the blue subscribe button, and we'll send you 2 emails a week. Okay, the other thing to mention is that, let's go here first, we started a new show with Birgit, not that Birgit, the other Birgit, or is it the other, I don't know, one of the Birgits. Birgit Pauli-Hack joined me last week to talk about the core of WordPress. We're starting this whole series of new shows, and Birgit is, I think, number 5 in those. And every quarter, we're going to talk about what's happened in the last period in WordPress core. And so if you go to archives, WP Builds podcast, it'll be the first episode there. We're on episode number 396 there. And she and I chat about all the different bits and pieces that have been happening. And I think that's it. I think that's probably all I've got to say with that. So let's crack on with what's going on at the moment. I don't think you as contributors probably going to have a lot to say about this. So if you do, just interrupt me at the end. But if you don't, I'll just move on to the next piece. This is just to say that if you follow the WordPress code base religiously, like many of us do, 6.7 release candidate 2 is now available for your delectation. Probably the easiest way, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, is to install it via Playground, and you can just click on a few links to get it going. If you're a plugin author, theme author, I don't know, you create some blocks or something like that, then I guess it's always a good idea to monitor what's happening in these release candidates prior to 6.7 dropping at the end of the month. I know that both Corey and Mark, you're both developers of plugins. Do you do all this stuff? Do you like religiously test it, or do you just basically leave it until the very final release candidate? What do you do?
I usually install it as it's being released, and just, you know, I do formal testing obviously before it goes live, but I kind of just develop with it in the background to see if there's any problems. But so far, so good. It's been good. There's some new stuff in this version about the data views, which I'm interested to look into, because I've been working with Zach Katz with Data Grid.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where they're going with that. That's eventually going to power a lot more of WordPress, I think, in terms of lists within the admin. So that's the part I'm keeping up with. But lots of stuff in this release, quite a few new toys.
Is Zach's project, is that a thing that he's giving away? Is that like a commercial product? Are you looking to use that within your product?
Yeah, so I've had lots of people asking to put form submissions on the front end.
Okay.
And Zach and I met in, WordCamp Europe last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about his new Data Grid product, and we spoke about it, and we've got it all implemented now. So I think he's still waiting for the plugin to be approved. I'm not quite sure where he is with it. I'll have to check up on that with him. But
okay, so that would allow you, without like a post-management add-on, which I know you do, you'd be able to sort of take the form-filled fields and then just display them in a grid natively without needing
using the actual native WordPress data views component. So that's quite cool. Yeah,
it wouldn't need ACF or something like that. Yeah,
no. You could use ACF with it, or you could use any of the other custom field plugins. But you can display anything in a row. Yeah.
What about you, Corey? Do you keep up to date with these release candidates?
Uninterestingly, I do exactly what Mark does.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's solid as we go, but like, you know, basically for me, a couple of things, like when I'm thinking about products to build, I rather intentionally have never built a product that interacts that much with WordPress.
Okay.
Because these kind of updates scare me. And so I kind of like float off to the side, like you install my stuff in WordPress, and it integrates a little bit, but I intentionally don't have to pay a lot of attention to these kinds of updates, because I've had projects and products in the past where I was constantly having to chase core updates, and it drove me crazy. So it's at least one of the considerations that I keep in mind when choosing products. But so yeah, I develop, you know, the next update with it running on my machine, kind of just to spot check. And then before I release, then it goes through a much more thorough, testing system.
Okay. Ding. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Just, I don't know, noise happened there. I don't know whose that was, but... turn it off.
If I can comment on the...
Please do. Please do, Patricia. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a part of the Contributor Mentorship Program, the Cohort 3. We have a lot of mentees, and we took them to the tests for the beta release and release candidates. So it was great. Also, I'm part of a sub cohort in for the French mentees. So we show them how to test during their release party, so the updates, and then you try to create a page, create a post, and stuff like that. So this is also a big thing, because the Contributor Mentorship Program is usually synced with a major release. So it's interesting to have the one who contribute to core is one thing, and then all the other people can just test and help with that. So
many moving parts in a project this size, but really cool to get that perspective. Thank you. Okay, so that is WordPress 6.7 release candidate 2. Just to say, you know, if you are not testing, it sounds like everybody else is. So, you know, get on with it. And Courtney's very, very pleased that you are. She says as much right here. I love that you're testing your plugins against the release, Mark. Yay. Yeah.
And not a last minute rush at the end.
Indeed. The other Birgit, I don't know. Having a day off, sitting on the balcony, enjoying the sun and the colourful trees. That's nice. And need a way to better distinguish all the Birgits. I'm going to leave you to figure that out for yourselves. Okay, let's go back. Speaking of plugins, this is kind of... I don't really know where this fits in the jigsaw puzzle of WordPress, but I caught sight of this. I can't remember where. It might have been in Remkes's newsletter. And this is experimental core features. We're looking on the screen at a GitHub repo. So github.com/WordPress. It's the WP.org experiments-plugin. And this is plugin closures reason. So this adds a, this would add a, will add a, this plugin is closed notice under each plugin on the plugins page of your WordPress website. And there's a little screenshot here where they're showing that this plugin has been closed on, and in this case, it says the 2nd of October 2015, and is no longer available for installs. I am guessing at the moment, although I'm not 100% sure, that if a plugin basically stops being worked on at the moment, it just sits in a state in your WordPress website, and we've got no indication that anything has happened. So I don't know how this works in terms of how do you alert the repo that your plugin is no longer being maintained. I don't know if it's just a thing which clocks after a number of months or years or what have you. Anyway, let's just imagine that that scenario is now possible. And in the future, you'll be able to say, look, this plugin is, I'm no longer interested in it. It's out of date. I'm never going to update it. That, I think, is kind of a neat thing to know on the plugin screen. It's kind of useful to know, no, this I need to go and look for another one, basically. So your thoughts on that? A neat feature, a bit of a quality of life thing. It's not really going to change anybody's life, but anyway, there you go. So if you've got any thoughts.
I just want to point out my interpretation of this, if you scroll up, is that this is a plugin that is going to continue to iterate with, like, the way that Gutenberg was originally a plugin.
Yeah.
And then is added to core, that this plugin, WordPress Experiments, is going to change, but is going to start introducing these different concepts versus like the feature you're talking about. I think the intention is to take it out of this plugin and put it into core.
Right. Yeah.
It's a no brainer that we should all get notices that a plugin is out of development. I also noticed this from Remkes's. That's an interesting way to think about it. Anyway, the newsletter of Remkes.
Yeah, that'll
there
do.
You go.
Yeah.
that I hadn't seen this plugin before. And the fact that there is the idea that there is a plugin that will continue to introduce new experiments, I think is a really, really cool way to approach this rather than having, because I think traditionally, like there are essentially branches, or there's ways to get, you know, the experimental new versions of WordPress where they're testing these things, as opposed to like for a lot of people installing a plugin, they know how to install a plugin. So here's a plugin that you can install and kind of keep an eye on, you know, the new interesting things that are coming down the road. So I was almost more interested in the plugin itself than the feature.
Yeah, the idea of experimental things inside of a plugin that would then hopefully make it to core. But
like this is the, like we know Mark drives, you know, a Honda Civic, but this is the sports package with the spoiler and the 22-inch rims and the racing stripes.
Right.
And like right. People can test this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've basically landed on a set of plugins that I use on absolutely everything. And the reason I've chosen them is because I know the developers are in it for the long term and I know that they update often. So I'm never presented with a plugin screen which isn't constantly getting updates. I can't think of a single plugin that I've got that isn't updated frequently. So I basically what I'm saying is I never experience that whole, oh gosh, that hasn't been updated in a while. It always seems to happen. But I'm also thinking that, you know, if you're unfamiliar with WordPress, having some sort of knowledge about the length of time it hasn't been updated is kind of interesting. And certainly if you can opt in to say, look, I'll keep it on the repo for historical reasons, but I'm not going to do anything with it. Basically, it's now defunct. That seems like a good flag to let everybody know, you know, go find something else, essentially.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
If this plugin stops being updated, will it report on itself?
Oh, that's interesting. That's very meta. Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you get a metal detector, which detects itself.
A little bit of inception there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know is the answer, but imagine it could just keep reporting endlessly and really quickly. I don't know, but that's a good point. Let's see what we got as comments. Performance lab, same as the performance plugin, I guess, which, thank you, Jerome. And then he goes on to say performance lab, he means. This is helpful. Matt Medeiros says the possessive Remkes is Remke. There you go. One Remkes, multiple Remke. I like it. I'm sorry, Remkes.
Well, we know.
Yeah, no. Is that true or has Matt just made that up? I think he made it up, but I don't know. Okay, anyway, so there's that, which I think is really interesting. Like I say, little quality of life thing, but it's another nice little metric. And then there's this. And honestly, every time I've tried to play these videos in my browser, for some reason, it all just fails. They're all little WebEms, and I have limited success ever getting those things to work. But basically, I'm going to link to this in the show notes. It's another GitHub issue, and it's from Demonad, I guess, Demonad. And it's posting the state of play, their version, if you like, of collaborative editing, which seems to have gone really quiet. About, I don't know, 2 years ago, I was talking about it all the time. I kept mentioning it, like, you know, like Google Docs for WordPress. That whole thing seems to have got hijacked by, I don't know, full site editing and a bunch of other things. But if we can get some of this video working, let me just click play and we'll just sort of hope for the best. It seems to sort of bulk out at about 10 seconds or something. No, look, it got to 2 seconds and died. Now let's press play again and it just starts again. And this time it's carrying on. Okay, so essentially what you're seeing is the ability to edit on one screen and it appear, it's not quite Google Docs in that it's definitely not one-to-one. Somebody's typing on one side and then maybe 5 or 6 seconds later, 10 characters get updated all at once. But then they go on to show in a further video how you can interact with this in the database. So they open up the database in phpMyAdmin. And then modify the post content in the database, and then it gets updated on the different screens and what have you. So it's kind of interesting, different ways that you can do things. But again, the reason that I'm raising this isn't to do with where we're at specifically. It was more about, like, did this get forgotten about? Is this still part of phase 3? I think it probably is, but it definitely has got put on the back shelf. Interestingly, the person that's taken this on, this Demonad, says, now where is it? Something about them being very new. Here we go. Thanks for all your input. I'm new to WordPress and PHP and Gutenberg. So not a lot
there
to
is a lot to jump on.
But when we spoke before we clicked record, I think some of you had the intuition that maybe this was somebody that has a bit of a background with this kind of technology, collaborative editing and things like that. Anyway, yeah. I'll link to it in the show notes. Does anybody want to talk about collaborative editing, or are we?
All I'll say is this is a really, really complicated problem to solve with any platform. And I think one of the things that this user highlights is that one of the hurdles is just the fact of the way Gutenberg is written, or any editor, not just Gutenberg, that you have to modify parts of it to get it to work in this collaborative way. So it's going to be a steep mountain to climb, and I wish them all the best.
Yeah. I kind of feel that the experience that we're used to with Google Docs is so sublimely reliable that anything other than exactly that is going to be a complete fail. Do you know what I mean? Like, the expectation has been set there. If it doesn't work 100% of the time and update in more or less instant real time,
One of the differences here between Google and WordPress is you've got two sites running, well, two people logging into, it's a self-hosted server, right?
Basically. Yep, right.
So you don't have the luxury of a huge Google data center in the background, you know, doing this almost in real time. So, it should be possible. So,
can you imagine, like, the stuff that's going on in the background, the millions of dollars of servers that are going on in the background, which make that little simple Google Doc happen?
Yeah, it's synchronous.
You just sort of take it for granted. Whereas your like $2.99 shared hosting server, which you also anticipate because it's on the internet, it says collaborative editing. One, maybe two, but when you get into like three or four people editing at the same time, I don't know. I just feel like they've bitten off a lot, and let's hope that these people can figure it out.
I had to solve this sort of problem with one of the side project that I talked about at WordCamp US. Plug, everybody should go watch that video. But after they watched Michelle's, hers was better. But it's like the tech is, like, I had to code around how WordPress does native syncing of data, because it just weighs too much. Like, if you've got too much pinging, looking for updates, and I think that's why you're seeing chunks, then it's just gonna, again, I rely on a third party service that I pay for. And so two people on a $2 host not using a third party, I think, are going to have issues with this.
Yeah, I did kind of wonder if this would be like an add-on almost. You know, you pay, I don't know, let's just use the word Jetpack for want of a better word. You know, like a Jetpack add-on where you buy a, I don't know, some access to a server somewhere that can do the heavy lifting just for the full site editing piece, not the actual, you know, the website itself, but just that can sync all of those synchronous sessions. Who knows? Oh, and also another solution which was suggested like a year ago was that it would be a sync by block. So it wouldn't try to sync the entire interface. It would just, I don't know, somebody's interacting with this paragraph. Okay, let's just get in on that one and we'll sync that paragraph. Then if somebody does another paragraph, then we'll go into there. Web-friendly guy. Is this Dave? I can never remember who web-friendly guy is. I'm so sorry. Could use WebSockets to send data directly to other users and avoid the server.
Yes, it's Dave Gray.
Yeah. Dave Gray, thank you. I thought it was. Then one server needs to hit save, just the handshake. So it's not coming on the screen, but I'll read it. So one user knows the other is on the page. Yeah. I guess anything that's not Google Docs, though, just feels like a kludge, doesn't it? If it doesn't have that, the whole thing happening at the same time and everything updating with 20 people all going on at once. But boy,
it was my, when this was real being talked about a lot a few years ago, my recollection is there were already a couple of plugin services in the space that were, again, were those add-ons, because that way they could then subsidize or bolster the tech behind it or whatever, which made a lot of sense to me. I also, I, this may be a little cynical, but it feels a little like a tech for tech's sake or keeping up with the Joneses. Like I wonder how much, I think this is great as an add-on because there are definitely going to be big editing news sites that want collaboration like a Google Doc. But for the vast majority of WordPress site owners to add this much overhead and add this much tech, I wonder how much it'd actually get used.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, it's a lot of overhead, isn't it?
Marketing all the time, right? So like constantly like putting up an article and somebody else says, let me know when you're out of it so that I can, you know, add this and that. And somebody else says, I just need to add these things or can you proof it now? And like, well, you got to get out of it before.
Yeah, get out. Yeah.
Those kinds of things, I think it would be used more than you might think.
Yeah, in those larger, papers, newspapers, for want of a better word, where there could be 20 people who've got their hands on it, being able to see that at the same time. I used this fabulous service back in the day, and it stopped working like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was an export from Google Docs plugin. And I can't quite remember how it worked. There was some kind of API connection somewhere, but you worked in Google Docs. And then somebody would say, okay, that's it, we're done. And you'd click a button in the Google Docs interface and it would bring everything over perfectly into the block editor. So it would recognize every single bit of formatting, headings, strike through, paragraphs, images, the lot. And it worked really well, but obviously it went out of business, so there couldn't have been too much of a
I want to open OMG IMG tomorrow morning and open all, like edit all the pages at once so that when Corey goes in, he's like, I can't do anything. Michelle's
right.
In all pages.
Yeah, that's
if only
it.
There was something to fix this.
Only there was a thing. Yeah. Anyway, it seems like
not spiteful at all.
No, not at all. It does seem like a thing that has been bitten off, where maybe it's more than we can chew. But let's see. Anyway, I will link to that in the show notes, and you can watch the videos more successfully than I have. I don't quite know, but as soon as this the wave platform comes on, somehow it manages to interrupt and the videos won't work. But you can see it. You can see conflict resolution. You can see how quickly the things interact and so on and so forth. Okay. So,
Nathan, once you said in this show, we can interrupt each other, right?
Say again.
You once said that in this show, we can interrupt each other.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Because I didn't dare and I had something to say to the previous news about the experiment. So yes, as said Corey or Mark, I don't know exactly. So some experiments are going to come into that plugin. And then when it's all tested and all good, it goes to the core and a new experiment can be added. And on that feature that you have shown, that first experiment about, this plugin is not anymore in the repository. I actually use a plugin called WP Vulnerability. I just can't pronounce it. WP Vulnerability, and with that you have a full list of where there has been what's the word again? Help me.
Malware.
Compromise or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like submitted like to Patchstack or stuff, and also you see the date of the last update.
So oh, that's nice. Okay.
Interesting. And I gave a lightning talk last year in Italy about it. I have a site that I called Crash Test. It's a multi-site running on beta, and I have 500 plugins in it. And tons of themes. And so I can see every vulnerability or even date, so I can sort by last update date, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a view of everything that can be installed either in one of my site or my customer site. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and honestly, feel free to interrupt. No big deal. That's how this show works best, I think, is when we all kind of talk over each other and things. So, yeah. Okay, so that's that experimental plugin plus the collaborative editing. Let's kind of move on from there. Let's put the screen back on. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. So I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but coincidentally, this works really well. This serves two purposes. The first one is to mention WordCamp Romania, which is coming up in 10 days' time. If you're in that part of the world and you're into WordPress and you don't have tickets, it might be worth exploring. I don't honestly know a great deal about the event, but HeroPress have got an article about it. And I interviewed Topher from HeroPress the other day, and you can see by this great big donate to help HeroPress button, they are currently seeking a round of funding to make the HeroPress project sustainable for the next period. So if you've enjoyed HeroPress articles, and they're great, they go into a particular community member from really all over the world. And it's not just focused on North America and Europe. It really is all over the place and often in other languages than English. I think it's a worthwhile subject. So yeah, go and donate to HeroPress, but also check out the article about WordCamp Romania. And you can see where it's happening and who's involved and all of that kind of stuff. Anything to add before I move on?
Make sure you subscribe to his emails too.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like over the last few weeks, we've had this whole thing going on in WordPress, which we're not going to get into, but this every time one of these drops, it genuinely gives you the reason why you're still interested.
Yeah.
Because there's people out there, ordinary people doing extraordinary and sometimes ordinary things. In the same way that you remember why you got into WordPress, it wasn't about lawsuits and about fighting for venture capital and all that. It was about putting pixels on a page and having a nice time at meetups and things like that. And it makes you remember that, and it makes you recognize that this freely available piece of software can genuinely change people's lives. Mm-hmm. And literally change people's lives. You know, they go from, in some cases, really scrabbling around trying to figure out what to do with their lives, and suddenly they attend a WordCamp or something like that, and they have meaning, and they find a job, and they find a career, and they find friends, and it's just lovely. So I call it relentlessly optimistic, HeroPress. That's what that is. It's just relentlessly optimistic. It's lovely. HeroPress.com. This came out on the 29th of October, so go check it out.
And okay. While you are on events, maybe you want to bring the last tab and... your browser tab.
Good point.
It's a bit the same then.
Yeah, let's do it now. Good point. Yeah.
Okay. I actually decided last Friday to attend, and it's this week, because I had a look at the attendees page, and it's always like that for me for events. It's who will be there. Initially, I thought, you know, I'm not a dev, so there will be only talks about core, and it's not really my area. But then you look at the attendees pages and say so many friends, and that's what you just said, you know. I keep meeting people that I love, that I made a lot of friends in the WordPress community. Some even very dear friends. So I decided to go.
Nice. Gosh, there is a lot, isn't there? I confess, this event, we mentioned it the other week, but I confess it's not one that is on my radar for an attendee. But so this is Rome.
Yes.
What's the dates? Oh, there we go. Perfect. So
this Friday.
This Friday, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I love the Italian community. I have been into WordCamps in Milano, Torino, and Verona for years. I mean, Milano and Torino for years, Verona first time last year. And the Italian community is so warm, so welcoming. I love them. So
nice.
I'm really much looking forward to be there.
Okay, so this is events.wordpress.org/Rome/2024/core days. So if you are into the core of WordPress and you're in Rome or want to go to Rome, you've got a few days left. It does still say tickets. So I presume that button's there because there are tickets available. But again, links in the show notes. The show notes will come out tomorrow. At the beginning of this podcast, I intended to ask a question, but then Michelle trundled onto the scene, and I completely forgot.
No,
it's fine, because it's apropos of nothing. But I thought, right, we're about halfway through. Let's just hijack the conversation for a minute. This week, the Arc browser, ARC, the Arc browser, kind of publicly announced that they were not really going away, but kind of going away. They sort of said, we're going to stop developing this browser that we have. And if you haven't used it, it was brilliant. It is brilliant. It had loads of extremely cool features. And so I went around this week thinking, right, I'm going to find a different one that's maintained and keeps going. And so I just thought we'd get into that. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm using, let me put it back on the screen. I'm using one now called Vivaldi, which most people have never heard of. But it's got a load of cool features. Check this one out, right? If you look at my tab at the top, look, you can drop a tab into another tab. Ooh. And then if you drop the two tabs together, they become a little accordion look. And now that a little accordion looks, so I've got little two tabs. You can separate them. And then I now put three together. Look how clever it is. And you've got this sidebar, which you can do various things. It's actually got a mail client built into it. It's got a calendar client built into it. An RSS reader built into it. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But it's Chromium based, so it does all the all the usual stuff like extensions and what have you. And then you probably won't be able to see this. Yes, you can see this, but because I'm in an incognito tab, you won't be able to see it. You can organize into workspaces. So you can open up a ton of tabs and then save them as a workspace. Sync those across all your devices. So for example, you might have, I don't know, a work workspace and a, I don't know, social workspace or a holiday planning workspace or whatever. And you can browse between them. And like I said, they sync all over the place, including mobile. They've got a fully featured mobile app. So my question was, what are you using these days? I'm on Vivaldi. So there you go. what are you guys using?
I'm still using Chrome.
Same. Chrome.
Yeah. I have no need. I like giving all my data to Google.
Do you? Seriously. Like, that is a dead serious question. Do you like giving your data to Google, or have you just made that deal? You're just like, it's fine.
I've got to a point now where everything in my life is monitored, even my drive in my car. There's not a lot I can do. But I don't know. Most of my day I'm just coding. So I'm in Chrome using the developer console, and I love the developer console in Chrome. It gives me everything I need for developing plugins, and I've just kind of stuck with it really. So if I had a concern, I would definitely look around, but most stuff's built on Chromium, right? It's pretty much the same browser under the hood, people just wrapping it in more advanced stuff. But I just stick with it.
I like that no matter what I talk about, it'll show me an ad for that later in the day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're all going to get the browser ads later in the day. Okay, so
relevant.
So I've got Chromium over here, but Vivaldi. We've got two Chromium Chromes over there. What about you, Corey? What's your go-to?
Yeah, same. I've been fascinated, obsessed with products. Like, I'm constantly looking for new things and installing them and trying them. I keep my Twitter is full of WordPress, but also Build in Public and indie hacker and like some of these other communities. And so in particular there's one called Horse or Horses, and so suddenly my feed is showing me tweets from him because his usership has gone through the roof because he was a fully paid alternative to the browser you just mentioned, which is, since that's going away, he's going up, and I keep looking at the features. But I'm like, I don't like, it's neat to look at and see what's available. And like, I own so much crap and I own so much software. Like, I want to buy, like, but it's, there's so far, there's not things that I'm like, I need to have that. You know what I mean? So it's still just Chrome for me.
Does Chrome do this? Can you do that in Chrome?
It's funny that you mentioned that because in the last 2 weeks, I've literally wanted that, like, side by side, the way you can in Finder on Mac, you can open in tabs or whatever.
Yeah. So this is called tiling. And so you just basically throw a bunch of tabs into that little accordion thing, and then you click a button and says tile them.
Sold.
Yeah.
Downloading now.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's changed your life. No, this is the thing. No. Yeah, I get it. That's exactly what I should do, right? Totally what I should do. And by the way, we're going so off piece here. There's a free Mac app called Rectangle, which allows you to, I don't know if you've come across it, but it sits in the tray at the top. is that called the tray? You know, the admin bar kind of thing at the top of Mac. It sits in there and you can smack, you take a something like, I don't know, Firefox or Chrome, and you just whack it on a particular part of the monitor with your mouse, and then it occupies a proportion of the screen. And so you could do, you know, hit one left, hit one right, and suddenly they're half and half, or you could be two thirds.
There's a bunch of those. Magnet is another one.
That's another one.
The OS now has some version of that. You can at least go left and right and full.
But I find this,
for me, I use Alfred with a key command because I'm that kind of nerd.
This for me is the killer feature. Honestly, this is the killer feature for me. Can you still hear me? My VNC just decided to drop in. Hold on, let me just disconnect that quickly. There we go. That's literally the killer feature. I'm constantly doing two things at the same time with two different web pages, and having them side by side and able to see what, you know, copy and paste from one into the other is really important. Like collating this news article, it just works really well. You know, I can see the news on the left, and then I paste it into my WordPress post on the right. And anyway, that's what Vivaldi does. Patricia, what are you using?
So my main one is Firefox.
Nice.
But I'm too many tabs person. And I recently, and it's also because my laptop, I only have a laptop, and it begins to age a bit bad. So I have some resource issues, and if I have a browser open and then a video call, and suddenly everything freezes. So I have too many tabs, and it takes too much RAM, and I have to kill it. It killed the task from the task manager, the Windows task manager. And but there are extensions or add-ons for Firefox that I could not live without, and I have not particularly searched for the same alternative on Chrome or Chromium's browser.
Yeah,
but I also use Chrome because I have so many profiles, so it's very easy with Chrome. You know, you click on the right tab, and you have all your Google accounts because I have many projects. I have some for other people and stuff, you know, that it's not my personal account. So it's easier. So you might, if you track the visit, and I accept to be tracked, you might see my visit with two different browsers at the
same time. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I use Firefox for a while because they've got this thing called containers, which is really cool. And it isolates the cookies inside that container. So let's say, for example, you hate Facebook but need Facebook. You can open up Facebook inside this Firefox container, and all the cookies are kept in there and they can't reach out. So that's kind of nice. But I don't know if Vivaldi does something like that. But here we go. What have we got? Firstly, Jerome says he'll see you soon. He's going. So, Patricia, you've got somebody to hang out with. That's really nice. Chromium apparently has groups too. Didn't know that. I feel like an idiot now, you see. I've raised this whole subject and there was no need. We could all be on Chromium. Brave and Firefox. Yeah, I was using Brave, and then I got all shiny with Vivaldi. It was just shininess. That's all it was. Tim Nash. Hi, Tim. We spent a bit of this week with Tim down at WordPress London meetup on Thursday. That was really nice. Firefox has workspaces, has had it for years, and it's called containers, and it actually works. Okay, yeah. I think I just said all that, so that's great. Thank you. Or the dock for two browsers. Raycast, never heard of that. Has a built-in window manager. What's Raycast? Is Raycast a browser? If it is, that's amazing, because I've never heard of that one. Mac OS does it too now if you're on Sequoia. Brilliant. On Firefox, tiling is called Side View. So there you go. Turns out you can do everything in a different browser. I was just...
I feel like you're always trying to tweak your setup though, Nathan. You like to fiddle.
Honestly, that is a whole day of my life that I'm never getting back. But the Arc browser genuinely turned my head. In so many ways, it was brilliant. But they made the sad decision this week that essentially, despite all of their amazing marketing, and they were amazing at marketing, they just realized they can't get the numbers.
140 million invested. Like that's the thing that blew my mind was, and assuming it's true, I apologize. I should caveat this with like, you know, I'm skimming news.
That's okay.
But what stuck with me was, I believe, what I saw was that they 140 million invested in a Chrome fork.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that word here?
Yeah, yeah, you are, yeah.
But, you know, a Chromium browser, 140 million.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't, what did, the, and that to me is again, like I tend to think entrepreneurial. I'm like, somebody walked into a room and convinced a bunch of investors that they could add enough features to Chrome. They could out feature, you know, the core Google team who are going to see every feature and then start and consider adding it, and raised 140 million. And that's like, that's an incredible salesperson.
Yeah. And I know where most of it went, judging by the videos. Firstly, as it always does, it went on salaries. Secondly, office furniture. That's where it went. You saw their promotional videos. It was like, I want to work there. It looks so nice. Everything's colorful and fresh and big.
Let's start a project like that. And
come on.
Together, yeah.
The four of us. Five.
All right.
But interesting, 140 million. Corey's right. Honestly, we say it these days as if it's nothing, you know. It's so much money to get invested. And obviously, after this period of time, they've realized they can't do it. So guess what they're going to do? I bet you can't. AI. Whoa, you know.
So exactly. What's that?
So apparently Raycast is similar to Alfred, says Courtney. Thank you. That's good to know.
Thanks.
Raycast is a command tool similar to Alfred. Okay. And I've got a bridge to send to sell them. I guess this is in reference to the London Bridge sale to the Americans back in the day.
If I can make one side comment plug, not a plug, whatever, is I've already pitched, I think, at least Michelle, probably Mark on this, is I'm a big fan, Nathan. I'm sorry for what I'm about to tell you.
It's okay.
If you haven't discovered Set app,
oh yeah,
assuming you're on Mac.
Yeah,
it is the ultimate way to lose days and days.
Yes, because you try all 400 of them once.
Exactly. So Set App is a monthly subscription, and you get all of these apps included in the subscription. And I fought it. I really didn't want it. But I was buying so many of the apps that were already included that eventually I was like, forget it. I'm just going to buy in.
Yeah.
And then, of course, wound up looking at all the other apps because the way, you know, I mean, it makes sense from a sales perspective. Like, it's money spent. I may as well install these other 500 plugins on a WordPress install. You know, I've got to try them all.
Yeah. So, and no doubt in there's weekend. Probably one app which allows you to uninstall the other 399. There's an app for absolutely everything. Roy, thank you. Roy's just made my week just disappeared. You know, what the heck? I've invested my time in a closed source product. I didn't know that. I assumed it was open source because I didn't read the email or didn't read the documentation. Okay, well, that kind of
gets me. Shut your browser down now.
Yeah, that's right.
Drop the hammer on you, Nathan.
Well, do you know what's interesting? I've opened this Wave video that we're doing the video on in Brave. Because I can't trust a new browser to do the video on the fly in the same way that I used Chromium for years and then tried it out on Brave one time and it worked, so I kept going and it's never failed. But I was never going to try it today because I just can't afford for the show to collapse, and it probably wouldn't, but you never know, right? And then Birgit says, I hear you, Corey. Couldn't resist setup either. Yeah. Don't do it, everybody. I mean, do it. It's great. But also, you know, do it on vacation week because that's the amount of time.
Well, I'll tell you why not to do it. I'll tell you why not to do it. They rejected my application for an affiliate into their affiliate program. So I can't make money off of these recommendations. So for that reason alone, everybody should boycott it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Boo. Boo and hiss. And Roy says, sorry. No, it's all right. It's okay.
At least he's polite.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm gonna just weep after this show. Anyway, I quite like it. I'll probably still use it, even though it's closed source, for various different bits and pieces. Okay, that is the end of that little side step. Let's go back to here.
So because you mentioned the Meetup London, I heard a lot of good things about London. And if I go crazy one day, I might fly to, just for a meetup and just to meet you and Tim. And I might have my friend Steve from Manchester to come down.
That'd be great. We've got one, I think it's the 28th of November is the next one. And then oddly, so it's always the final Thursday of the month, but then the Christmas one, that doesn't work because it's Christmas time. So that one's on the 12th of December, and we've got something a bit special lined up for that. And we had a bit of a nightmare, not a nightmare, but the venue that we were using, they got new office accommodation, and so we couldn't use that anymore. So we had this period up until the other day where we didn't have a venue, and we were honestly starting to panic a little bit. And then we were walking down the street, me, Paul Smart, and Dan Maybe, we were walking down the street to go and look at a venue. And on the way to the venue, we saw a venue, and we walked in just off, you know, on the off chance that it would work, and it's perfect.
Nice. So
it's absolutely what we need. It's really affordable, and it's just the bomb. And so it was one of those serendipitous things that, you know, you're like, oh, that was meant to be. So we now know where it is. It's the Bridge in Southwark.
London Bridge.
Yeah, it's really close to London Bridge. Yeah, it really is close to London Bridge, which, by the way, is not falling down, just in case.
You have to bring your own tarp.
Under
the bridge and it's dripping on you, but otherwise.
I hadn't been to London for years, and I started going to the WordPress London meetup. Man alive, that all of London is so snazzy now. I used to live there in like the late 90s, and it was all a bit like depressing. Oh, now it's so nice. All of it. It's crazy. It's probably because I moved down.
Brighton around that time, so I may see it pop up.
Yeah.
December.
28th of November and the 12th of December. It's going to be a good one, that one. More of a social, less of a learning experience, but a good social. We've got something up our sleeve. Anyway, apropos of nothing, this is the only time we're going to touch this, maybe, but we'll just keep it very sweet. So I don't want to talk about the stuff that's going on in the WordPress space in terms of litigation, who's doing what and what have you. But I thought this was probably important to mention. I'm just going to read what it says. It's on the WP Tavern, 1st of November. Automatic and Matt Mullenweg push for dismissal of key claims in WP Engine lawsuit. And I'm just going to read the TLDR at the top. Automatic and Matt Mullenweg have filed a response asking the court to dismiss counts 1-6 and 9-11 of WP Engine's lawsuit. WP Engine had filed a motion on the 18th of October 24 for a preliminary injunction in a Northern California court seeking to restore access to WordPress.org and a reversion to conditions as of September 20th, 2024. Honestly, I don't know enough about law. I certainly don't know enough about American law to tell you what's going on. The one thing I can say is that on the socials that I frequent, it seems to have calmed down a lot. We seem to have a lot less vitriol going about. I think essentially people's passion probably hasn't been in any way stifled or stymied. People are probably, you know, they're still on the same side of the fence, but maybe now people have just got less capacity to you know, just post incessantly about it. I'm of the opinion, let's now just let the lawyers figure out what's going to happen. And once the lawyers have figured it out, we can talk about what the lawyers said was acceptable and what wasn't. And at that point, you know, let's just go for that. Anybody want to talk about that? No? Okay, fine. Let's move on. Thank you. Next tab. Right, here we go. So this is about the WordPress community again. I don't really know too much about how swag was ordered, and I don't know if this is indicative of things sort of slowing down on the WordCamp side of things or not. But this is just to say that if you are organizing an event, there is now a pause on swag shipments for WordPress events, WordCamps, and meetups. And I've highlighted a bunch, but essentially, if you were organizing any of these things, there was a way to go through that. There was a process to go through to get your bits and pieces, the swag that you might give away at that event. You know, all the typical stuff that you receive if you go to WordPress events, no doubt. And now that has been paused. There are no plans at the moment to bring all of that back. But you can, if you want to reach out, there's an email here, support@wordcamp.org, if you have any questions. So in terms of the future, it says, whilst this likely won't be prioritized right now, as we don't have many community team contributors available, it will surely be reconsidered in the future. So I'm going to throw this one at Patricia, probably, I guess, to start with. Is this significant in any way? Is this just because there aren't boots on the ground, or is this because things are sort of slowing down? It's not profitable to set to give this stuff away. Do you know anything about this?
I don't know why, but I know that as a WordCamp organizer, I've been like a local like Swiss WordCamp organizers for many years. So a few maybe months before the event, we were asked for the shipping address, and then we would receive all the lanyards and pins and stickers and stuff. So I think it's even better like that, because you add that to your budget and you print locally. So it's more sustainable, I think. Anyway, we print t-shirts, so why not to have the lanyard printed and even the pins and the stickers? It's because it all came from the US, and and sometimes we even had like custom declaration issue or stuff.
All right, yeah. So,
I don't exactly know why it was said in the article that in the post that there was not enough like community people available, but it was already mentioned like before, if you understand what I mean by before. So it's not related to the situation, or if you say that there are less events, or I'm not even sure there are less events for now.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it's just curious.
It's just fewer events in North America.
Okay.
There was like a person in charge of that had to know the number for each event and send a package. You know, that's just something that we can do locally.
Okay. To be honest with you, I think quite a bit of it ends up as waste, doesn't it? Which is not particularly great for the environment. Certainly in my case, I always decline the swag, because if it's an option to decline it, because I generally don't make use of it. So I'll just read what it says verbatim. After several attempts to find alternatives and continue shipping swag for community team events, we have decided to pause this program officially until our contributors have the bandwidth to conduct more research and identify a sustainable solution. Again, it's sort of a minor story, really. But I wondered if it was indicative of some greater malaise.
This rag specifically, though, is the lanyards, the pins, and the stickers, the W stickers for WordPress.
Okay, so it's a small subset of things.
Yeah, it's not the things that are specific to every camp. It's those things.
Okay.
I think the only one that will cause some people to have to figure out a little bit more is the lanyards. If they choose to get lanyards, you know, printed, or if they just go with something, you know, just plain black lanyards or stickers as your, your badge.
Yeah.
It gives a few more options, but it also will cause some newer WordCamp organizers to have to do a little more scrambling than usual because they're not sending those things out. I don't think it's a big issue.
No,
but I
good.
Think it'll be
good.
Something that people have to take into consideration.
Good to hear. Birgit, the Birgit, the second, the third, the I don't know, the Birgit, this one. The Birgit we've got today says, okay, new location. Yeah, maybe plan our next trip to London around the meetup. WPLDN.uk. If you want to see what, if you go to speak, all the dates are on there, /speak, all of the dates are on there. I did it once unintentionally and it was amazing. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's fairly unintentional. So, it's good. It is good. Please do come along. All right. Let's move on. Again, very quick piece of community news. We have these things called team reps, and they do an awful lot of work. It is, says here, the team reps are responsible for communicating on behalf of the group to other contributor groups via weekly meetups envisioned of about a minimum of 1 hour a week. So it's not a paid post, and the expectation would be at least 1 hour a week. If you're into that and you find the idea of writing agendas for community team meetings or coordinating and facilitating of meetings and posting summaries, that kind of thing, then go to make.wordpress.org, look for a post on the 1st of November with the community team rep nominations for 25 title. And you've got until the 15th of November to post your application. And then voting will be decided by the 10th of December. So if you want to help the project, yeah.
Can you scroll down so we see if people have been nominated publicly already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
Da-da-da-da-da. There's a few comments, not too many. Look at it. What the heck? Look at that. When did that happen? Yesterday at 5:57. Yeah, nice. I hope Michelle knows.
You can say no.
Yeah, quite. No, it's there in black and white. She's doing it.
I just nominate random people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So, that's nice. That was a nice bit of serendipity as well. I confess I didn't scroll down and see that. So that's lovely. There you are, both of you on the call. Okie dokie. So moving on, this is kind of touching a little bit on what we want to avoid, but nevertheless, we'll get into it because we don't have to touch any of the hot button stuff. This is Yoast de Volk. So Yoast the person, not the plugin, the company. Yoast and Marika, in fact, but it's on the Yoast de Volk website. They have this post this week called "The People Behind the Platform, How WordPress Community Drives its Success." Now, you can see I've read it, I've highlighted a bunch of stuff. The TLDR is basically people, not companies, will be the most effective way of marketing whatever you've got. So whether that be a plugin, a theme, the project itself, it's not going to be like the emails going out on behalf of the company that will make it a success. So I don't know, in the case of Mark, doing WS form, maybe he can speak to this, I don't know. And if I'm dropping you in it, Mark, just tell me to be quiet. Stuff that you put out is probably going to have a certain audience, but I'm guessing if some big influencer catches on to some aspect of your product, they can, I don't know, 10x your marketing. I think Yoast says something like 10 or 15 times or something like that.
I can tell.
And basically behind this is the idea that the community is driving the success. So it's not just about YouTube influencers or people that have got podcasts or famous blogs or whatever. It's the community that's driving the success. And I think Yoast, the person, just wanted to highlight that, you know, and in all this stuff that's going on at the moment, let's not forget that is what's going on. And, you know, I'm kind of parsing that very, very quickly, but I just thought it was kind of salutary to just to remember that.
Well, anybody?
Are we talking about marketing WordPress? Because that was a topic.
Yeah.
I mean, WordCamps, or are we talking about marketing within WordPress?
He's definitely talking about marketing WordPress, but certainly the bit that I took out of it was that not just WordPress, your stuff within WordPress could also be equally influenced in the same way, you know. But yeah, the article is about marketing WordPress as a platform. Sorry, Mark,
I love about our community is that we all help each other out, you know, no matter what we're doing. Some of us are building plugins, some of us have podcasts, some of us have YouTube channels, and I try to help out other plugin developers that have come onto the scene, because it is you're an ant in a huge world, and it's very, very difficult to get your name out there.
Did he just call us an ant? I think he just called us all ants.
You're an ant.
I heard it the other way. He's the auntie.
Oh, nice.
He's helping us.
Okay. I like that better. Carry on. Sorry.
I mean, effectively very new to the community 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago. I wouldn't be where I am now had people not helped me, and I try and help back as much as I can. And I think, you know, Yoast is right. There's an immense amount of power in our community, more so than I think we give ourselves credit for. A lot of the noise that we make is done within the community and not done by the corporates. Pretty much everything I absorb about WordPress comes from people that are enthusiastic and are not making multi-million dollars per year from the platform.
I think that's maybe where we've got kind of derailed over the last few weeks. Yeah, I know that topic is important, right? There's no, but like I said, we'll let the lawyers decide where all of that lands. That is important, but equally, I certainly have lost sight of the community over the last few weeks, and it's just nice to read somebody that's put it into words and is able just kind of re-reminded me, you know what, that stuff will still remain. Those events are still going to carry on. That plugin will still get updated. Those themes will still be talked about. People will still be putting out content. And I think I got lost in Twitter somewhere, you know.
It's been very distracting, but I think at the heart of it, we're all still there, right? And we're all still working towards a common cause. Anybody that has WordPress in their life to make a living is just, you know, keep pushing on.
Yeah.
And arguably... Sorry, Mark, I cut you off.
No, go for it.
Just to me, that's been the, like, wasn't there a WordPress Super Bowl ad at some point? But like, we don't, does WordPress itself need marketing in the context of us? Like, the big hosting companies need to market WordPress so that people then buy their hosting.
Mm-hmm.
But like, for, in my world, it's me advocating, this is the tool I use. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, but I'm not necessarily handing out business cards for WordPress. If there was a better option, I might use it. And, or like, I'm going to advocate obviously for my plugin on that platform. So ultimately, essentially word of mouth, I'm advocating for that platform. But it's, to me, there's a difference. We are absolutely, the community is what makes it. I think we all believe. And those of us who are running business on it, whether it's agencies or freelancing or plugins, we're marketing each other or marketing ourselves. But it's like, WordPress is a side effect of that, right? Like, because we, our out the services we offer or the products we offer wouldn't exist without the core of WordPress.
It's really curious. I don't know if this is the case for your life, right? Maybe it's unique on the panel to me, but basically nobody that I, okay, let's start with me. My, apart from the WordPress community, my entire life is in the real world. The only bit of it which is online is the WordPress bit, but that's a significant bit of my life. Mm-hmm. But when I talk to other people who are in my life in the real world, not one of them has an online bit. None of them. They're all, you know, it's like the people that they meet in at the coffee house. It's people that they've got, their friends, their family, their relations and all that. And when I tell them that there's like, you know, yeah, there's this whole online community, I sometimes get looked at me like, what? You've got online friends? You've got online friends, Nathan? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what? And they're actual, yes, they're actual friends. It's not weird. Stop looking at me like that. Yeah. But it's a big part of my life, and I'm trying to encapsulate it. And I still don't think we've figured it out. You know, the whole online thing is still new enough that we haven't worked out what it is. I just know it's a very important bit of my life. And I'm so glad that it seems to be calming down. Because for a little bit back there, I was getting worried that we were having earthquakes every couple of hours. And that it was going to all fall apart.
They were online earthquakes, right?
Right.
I think that our online life, when we meet each other in person at a WordCamp, I find that so valuable, and it's a lovely thing. Like Corey and I met at WordCamp US, actually sat down and spoke to each other and found common interests and built. We both love apps.
Set up.
But we, you know, it changed the relationship from being just a 1 hour Zoom call to actually talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I love that we have WordCamps and that we can do that and bolster up those relationships.
One of the things that I try to do in my job at Stellar is to continue to champion WordPress for sure. And to show how you could learn WordPress and why WordPress is still relevant. Because without WordPress, there is no Stellar, because we are all WordPress plugins and themes. And so that's one of the things that I try to do. To the community part of it, I will say that there have been times when I see somebody face to face, like the first time I saw Patricia face to face, I didn't realize we had never met in person before, because I'd seen her so many times on screen that I forget that this is actually our first time meeting face to face, because we work in these same circles and things like that. And so I think that there's a lot that Yost and Marika put in that article that is absolutely true, right? So like, we do help each other. We do, and I think it's right that it's people that are doing the marketing, not necessarily big corporations, because a corporation, I could put out an ad, type post on Stellar WP that sounds very corporate, but then I can put out something on the Stellar Twitter account and I have people messaging me going, you wrote that, didn't you? It sounds like you, right? And those were the ones that get more views, and those are the ones that help us sell more products. And so it definitely is both. You need a balance, but I think that it's the people talking to people that really help understand. Like, I get more DMs about how do I do this with GiveWP or how do I do this with Cadence than, you know, than those people don't want to go to support. They want to just ask somebody that they know. And that's where the, that's where we come in to be able to help those things happen.
I think it was just really nice to hear somebody say what I've been hoping somebody would say, which is like, it's all going to be all right. The community is the thing. I've been kind of lying low a little bit, but I do feel that although the flame wars will no doubt carry on, I think maybe there's a little bit of, I don't know.
The community part is very important. And maybe when I was a young teenager or young, my mother used to always tell me, be careful, it's not a cult. You know, whenever I said I met a new group of friends, you know, and she would, if she was alive, she would definitely tell me that about the WordPress community because, I spend more money to attend events than I earn with WordPress, to be honest, and contribute more than I earn. So it's like a cult in her own definition, like giving your time and money for that. But one thing is that I try to not stay in the WordPress bubble only, and there are other area where you find a bit the same. For example, the community of people who speak Esperanto, or people around humanists. For example, Humanist UK, and then there are meetups in different part of the world, and also other stuff like that. And it's even something I would like to build on one of my business projects that I postponed actually because I contributed too much to WordPress, but I want to restart that. And it's really about that. I think that what's made WordPress successful is that to have meetup popping everywhere in the world. And that's what I think that made the success because it goes like exponentially, a bit like an MLM, you know. So in one of my projects, I want that local people everywhere can start their own chapter, you know, so and copy a bit the WordPress community on that.
Yeah. Just really nice to sort of get that written by somebody else. I think we forget.
The thing that I'm still... We all are pro community. We all love our community. Right? And yes, I love this article. But what I guess what I was trying to get out earlier, and I still want to bring up one more time, is that what I find sort of odd in the context of this article is marketing. Like, it's a lovely article about community, and if you read the title, the people behind the platform, the community drives success. But it's the use of marketing in it is still sort of confusing to me.
It definitely is.
These are two different things.
It definitely is about marketing, is it? Or at least that's how it begins at the top, and then it seems to sort of drift more into community.
And so maybe I'm pulling too hard on a thread. But
I think really, if you had a product, I think if the only thing you drew out of this article was the first half of it, it would be don't try to sell it from your own business email address or, you know, what have you. Find a bunch of community members who love it and get them to talk about it. And so maybe the two things do coalesce, you know, the community side with the marketing. Anyway, I just thought it was a nice piece to mention. And just quickly, there was one comment there from Cammy McNamara. Thank you, Cammy. Hi. Looks like I had a good time in Sydney this weekend. It did. I think it had like a whole onesie thing, where they all got dressed up in onesies, which...
Wendy went there.
Onesie, what?
Wendy from the Netherlands.
Oh.
She went to Sydney.
Gosh.
I have no news since, but...
she loved it so much.
The world.
We'll never see her again. She's enjoying it. Well, she's enjoying it so much. Right, okay, let's go on to the next one quickly. I'll just do this very quickly because we're kind of running out of time. So here we go. I didn't know about this, but it turns out Steve Burge, who has Published Press, amongst other things, Meta Slider is another project of his. He says that in September last year, he wrote an article about the launch of Press Forward and how they promised to invest $500 million in local news organizations over the next 5 years. It's been a year now, and that money is starting to flow to WordPress publishers. Gosh, I don't even know where that money comes from. A total of 205 small local news outlets, and you can see some of them here, and they appear to be all American as far as I can see, will receive a portion of $20 million in funding from Press Forward, the majority receiving $100,000 in operating support. This initiative aims to revitalize local journalism. The list of 205 outlets is absolutely dominated by WordPress. And that basically is, that's where the article ends. And there's just a list, the Latino News, the Black Iowa News, Arizona Luminaria, 285 South. Don't know any of these, but I just thought that was fascinating. Where's this money coming from? I guess it's coming from, you know, people that are interested in actually putting local news out there, but phenomenal. And again, I'm wondering if it's Newspack. But yeah,
it's Newspack, yeah, and I think the money comes from almost like a family fund.
Wow, that's
very
like an endowment.
Yeah, something.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah, so you know, right. I know that in the UK, at least, anyway, local journalism, local newspapers are basically dead. That is the most difficult metric to compete. I mean, you only have to walk down the street and look at the typical teenager who will very soon be an adult to realize paper, what the heck? They don't even know what it is. If it's a pixel, they're happy. If it's actual crushed tree in the form of paper, no. And unfortunately, the dive to the bottom with local newspapers has been so bad here, with just like horrible advertising models. Just, you know, you got one sentence and then 20 ads and then a second sentence and then 20 ads. It's just horrific. And so all things like this might bring it back. And do you know what? The amount of stuff going on in my neighborhood that I don't know about because there isn't any longer an actual newspaper, you know, the stuff that I speak to my local friends and they tell me, oh, I went to this, that, and the other. How did you even know? And they've got family and relatives going back, but the newspaper would have been my way of finding that out. So good on you, whoever Press Forward are, giving away all this cash. That's brilliant. Okay. I'll move on quickly because we are running out of time. WordCamp Europe 2026. We need a venue, we need a host city. And basically there's an application process, a whole thing. I imagine there's an awful lot that goes into it, but the first step is to get your submission in, and you've got to do that. You've got 11 days. So probably a bit late. I'm probably a bit late to the party here, but I just thought I'd mention it. Is this early, Patricia? Is this like is it normally like a whole year and a bit ahead like this?
Okay. So, last year, the application opened in December and ended in February.
Okay.
And I advocated to have it early because actually when a city is selected, it's good to have the people from that city to join the organizing team and learn how to do it, you know? So because now it's earlier, people can be involved earlier, like in December instead of April. So okay. That was one of the main reasons. Another reason is that some venues in some countries are already booked for 26, 27, 28. And when you have to do a pre-book and maybe you have 3 months to confirm, it's too late if you do that like 1 year before in some places.
Yeah.
These are the two reasons.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So boots on the ground a little bit earlier. So the applications go in by the end, 10 days from now, 11 days from now. And then the decision will be made very early. So before December, 29th of November, 2024. So whoever is involved in that, you know, the general public won't know, but the organizers will. And then they'll have, an extra 3 or 4 months start than previous years to get the community involved and what have you. If this interests you, again, I know it's late, but europe.wordcamp.org, and then you can find it from there.
And as usual, it will be announced at the end of WordCamp Europe in June. So,
thank you. Yeah, it normally gets announced at that point, doesn't it? Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. Right, let's quickly go through these. I'm just going to mention this, only mentioning it. Justin, as always, is producing great content over at the WordPress Developer blog, and he's got one about getting and setting block binding values in the editor. Block bindings API, going to be very important, I think, in the near future of WordPress. And he's got some, as he always does, a great big long article about how you might implement that from a developer point of view. And let's move on. Any time for this? Probably just. Studio. So Studio is a local development environment based upon WordPress. You can download it to your Mac, probably Windows as well. I'm not entirely sure. And then you can click a button. It invokes Studio, which is kind of this browser-based way of developing on WordPress. But now they've done what you might expect them to do in the year 2024. They've thrown AI into it. So you can ask it to do all sorts of things. Like, I don't know, install a particular plugin. You literally write it into the assistant. Install this plugin for me. It then gives you a bit of a prompt. It looks like a terminal or something like that. And if you're happy with it, you click run and off you go. And I'm guessing it's got smarts in terms of, I don't know, designing, I don't know, a typical 5-page layout or something like that for a website. Not sure, but that's a new handy feature. And then the other bits and pieces. Oh, last one. This is the last WordPressy bit. Calvin Alkin, who was on the podcast, he's a security researcher at Sneeko, but he decided the other day that he would turn his attention to just building a pet project, and he's launched this thing. It's called Command UI, which is a bit like Spotlight on the Mac, and earlier in the podcast, people were talking about things like Alfred and things like that. It's a bit like that for your WordPress site. So you can see it on the screen here. Basically, you hit a combination of keys on your keyboard. This modal pops up, which is a search box, and you start typing like add new, and it will give you the option for add new page, add new post, add new custom post type or what have you. But it does tons more as well. The reception has been something off the scale. I actually can't think of a time when there was more hype about a brand new thing than this. And I think it's taken him a bit by surprise. Yeah.
This goes back to what you wrote, actually. I saw so many people talking about it. It's like someone else is talking about another product and not their own product. And it's so much, it makes so much social proof. If you see all those people you know from their own agencies and you know from WordCamps and you know from their products, and then you see them saying, oh, that's so great, I love it. And then that's the social proof that goes, I guess, what Joost mentioned in the post.
Yeah,
you
know? The URL for this is Command UI. There's no affiliate weirdness or anything. And as I said, I've not played with it, but the reception has been somewhat ridiculously stellar. And let's just have a look. I think you can... he's doing a site license. I don't think it's a lifetime thing. Lifetime grandfathered pricing. Yeah, so yeah. There you go. There's the price.
And I do know that he's done a lot of work on accessibility with this as well.
Oh, so nice.
He's made sure it's accessible, which is great.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a new product. And there are a couple of things that I could have raised, but honestly, with like 1 minute to go, they're probably, or 2 minutes to go, there probably isn't time. So shall we knock it on the head there, as they say? And Mark, just so that everybody is very clear, your introduction at the beginning of this podcast, before Michelle trundled along, was not a sausage, Tony.
Not a sausage.
Tell everybody what that means, because it's something that you and I share.
Nathan and I have a side passion for archaeology, and there's an old TV program called Time Team, and there's a guy on that show called Phil that we both adore. He's particularly his accent, and in several episodes,
in every episode.
The host will go to him, have you found me a thing? And he'll go, not a sausage, Tony.
Not a sausage, Tony. really nice. If you're ever bored, go and watch Time Team. And you will be more bored.
It's a fall to sleep, too.
It's the cure for insomnia. But if you're into archaeology and beardy old men, just pacing around on the ground, trying to make something out of nothing. 3 days of television out of absolutely nothing.
All you've seen is mud under their fingernails.
That's for 30 minutes. Yeah. It was. I used to love that show as a kid. Not a sausage, Tony. So that's what that was about. That's it. We've run out of time. It's still online. It is. You can go and watch it on YouTube. There's like 1,000 of them. I mean, there's not.
It's went off for years.
Absolutely loads of them. So there you go. That's it. That's all we've got time for this week. Somewhat unexpectedly, in that rectangle over there are two people. I'm joined. Yeah, look at that.
We're
going to get all the hands. There's going to be so many hands. That was Mark Westgaard and Michelle Frechette. We'll talk afterwards. I'm desperate to know what the heck you're doing in the same room. That's nice. And down there, but we're joined by Patricia BT. And over there, we're joined. There we go. Thank you. That's really helpful. Oh, that should be a thing. That should be a thing that we do at the end. Everybody try and quit. That's never going to work. And Corey Moss. And thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate that. We sidestepped the political bombs that we could have walked on, I think. And thank you to you guys that have commented. Appreciate you sticking with us throughout this episode. That's great. At the end of every episode, we do the wavy hand thing so that I can create some thumbnail art. How many wavy hands are we going to get today? Loads of wavy hands. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. And I'm not going to end with the... with the cats, dogs, and sheep, or whatever it was. I will just end with the ordinary stuff. But
crash.
Yeah, the normal 10-second one. But stick around, you four, and I'll see you in about 10 seconds. But thanks for watching. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.